Mishnah 3. Hesrim v'shtayim oisis yisad, 22 foundation letters. Chakukos b'koil, they're carved in the voice. Chatzuvos b'ruach and hewn into the breath. Kvois b'peh and fixed in the mouth. B'chomesh m'koimos in 5 places. Aleph ches hei ayin b'goroin, in the throat. Gimel yud chaf kuf b'chech in the palate. Dalet Test Lamed Nun Tov Beloshin in the tongue, Zayin Samach Shin Resh Tzadik B'Shinayim in the teeth, Beis Vav Mem Pei B'Sosayim in the mouth, in the lips. So this is the preface. Achre is Biroi, after explaining Eich HaKuf Beis Oisiois Kulon Koilolois Kolhu Avsherios V'Avayos, after explaining to us and telling us how the 22 letters contain all the possibilities of all the permutations of words and letters that are possible. Shehu Soido Aleph, which is the secret of the Aleph, which contains within it all the letters. Bechinas Ruach Mei Ruach. He said that the three, Ruach, Esh, and Mayim, breath, fire, and water, are represented by Aleph, Mem, and Shin. Aleph represents the Ruach, which is what came directly from the Ruach HaKodesh. Ukedelel Perik Aleph Mishnah Tes, as we learned in the first chapter in the ninth Mishnah. Now, Bola Hasbir Tavnison, the Mishnah is telling us something about the architecture of the letters. Muhus Ho'oiso Aleph HaKodeleis Kulan, and it's telling us something about the letter Aleph, which contains all the other letters. Ukedelel Redis Lam Kuso, and in order to help us to delve into the depth, Choizel HaChoyrav, he goes back a little, the Farish HaMishnah HaKadoma, to explain the previous Mishnah. Laharchiv Bio Inyan Koil Ruach V'Dibur, so we're really going, in a sense, we're mirroring the first chapter and the eighth Mishnah in the first chapter, which talked about Koil Ruach and Dibur, voice, breath, and speech, which came in the creation of the breath, the Ruach HaKodesh, and it was only in the creation of the breath from breath in Mishnah 9 that we had the creation of the 22 letters. So the very first triplicate in Sefer Yetzirah, of which there are many, are these three, Koil, Ruach, and Dibur, voice, breath, and speech. V'hinei, Koil, Ruach, v'dibur hem bedugme k'moi ha-mem aleph shin. They, in a sense, voice, breath, and speech are parallel to the letters Mem, Aleph, and Shin. Mayim, Ruach, Esh, water, wind, and fire. Beten, Gvir, V'Roish, or the stomach, the thorax, and the head, as we will explain in the third chapter. Ki HaKoil, because the voice, Bo Lo Yirak Min HaGoren, it doesn't just come from the throat or from the larynx. Elemen hidhud tnuas habeten v'hakeres, but it also comes from the movement of the diaphragm and from the muscles in the stomach. V'dibur and speech, bo leirak mechituch hapeh, doesn't just come from the way that we move our mouth. Elemen hamoyach, but it also comes from the mind. Sheboi nitztai hamilim k'mo shizbanim, because it's in the mind that we imagine, project the words that we want to speak. And to know more about that, we look in the first chapter and the third Mishnah. The Ruach and the breath, bo lo rak mitnua sa'avir shevenishima sa'odam, it isn't only an effect of breathing, ela min ruach ha'kodesh yishodesh ha'chaim, breath is that very essence of what we call life. So when we breathe, we're not merely moving our chest, but we are also, our heart is beating, and we are in touch with the very spirit of the essence of life. V'hinei kol ois v'ois meshulav meshulash yisodis halolu, and every letter in the 22 letters of the alphabet is grafted and combined and a mixture and a production of these three processes from the stomach and the mind and the heart. Koil ruach v'divu v'peh, all of them find their place in the mouth. V'mishnah zu, in this Mishnah, Medubah al-Chamish Moitzis HaPeh, we talk about the five phonetic families. V'hem keneged chomesh mul chomesh, it's boys, and they correspond to the two sets of five fingers. She'esh b'neihem bris yichud b'loshen ha'obamor. We talked about the five fingers of the hands, and between them there's the covenant of the tongue, and the five toes of the feet, and between them is the covenant of the mila. V'inu chomesh chomesh, and the reason that they're in sets of five is because it is the he, the letter he, the fifth letter, which represents the motive force, as will be explained. Okay, Mishnah Gimel. Esrim b'shtayim ois yois yisod, 22 fundamental letters. Chakukois b'koil, carved in the voice. Chatzuvois b'ruach, hewn in the breath. Kvuois b'peh, fixed in the mouth. B'chomesh m'koimois, in five places. Aleph Ches He Ayin in the throat, Gimel Yud Chaf Kuf in the palate, and Dalet Tes Lamed Nun Tov in the tongue, Zayin Samach Shin Resh Tzadik Bishinaim in the teeth, and Beis Vav Mem Pei Besvosayim in the lips. Okay, so let's look first at note number 29. Chof Beis Ois Yois Yisod. Pirish, Oysam Shemanu Le'el B'Mishnah Akdoma, those about which we said in the previous Mishnah, Shekulam Tehuvo is Toicho Aleph, that all of them are there inside the Aleph. Vo'a Aleph Toich Kulam, and the Aleph is inside all of them. V'soy Doruach Shebo Miruach HaKodesh, in the mystery of that breath which comes from the Holy Spirit, which we talked about in Mishnah 8 and 9 in the previous chapter, Da. You should know, Ki bois b'soid chomesh chomesh kedel, that this, even though we're talking about one letter and a mixture of 22 letters, nevertheless the number 5 is there very prominently, as we saw in the second Mishnah of Sef Yitzir, where we talked about everything being split into two. In the first chapter we talked about the 10 Sefirot, and how they were split in two, and how there was a covenant flowing in between them, which this covenant we talked, it was the original desire, the Ratzon HaPashut, the simple desire that flows from God to us and is in a sense not connected, even though it flows through the Sefirot, it's not really connected to them, it's kind of independent, because if you have five and five split on either side, then it's hard to say that it's flowing through a sephira. Right? In the same way, you have it flowing through the letters. And the symbol of that is that it flows between the two sets of five fingers and two sets of five toes. V'hinei ruach hanimsheches toicho aleph, this spirit that flows through the aleph, hu ois hey, that's the letter hey, you know, if you breathe, hey. That is that breath which we talked about, Shebo ach v'rak behevel ha'peh, which can only be breathed out from the inside of the body. Ma'ashein le'alef atzmo, because the aleph itself does not have any motion. It doesn't have any movement. If you try and say an aleph without a vowel or without a letter preceding it or following it, you'll find that there's actually nothing to say. You can open your mouth and close your throat, but you can't actually, you can't articulate it. The only thing that can give the aleph any movement is the hey. And therefore the number 5 is associated with this letter. So, note number 30. Hakukois, we have said a number of times, because this is the word that keeps on coming up again and again. Chakukos chokak. In the very first Mishnah we talked about the way that God carves things, and we said that carving is associated with the Sefira of Malchut. Umashmoy musag nitan ruchni, and it suggests a intellectual concept. Umalchus husoid hapeh. Malchus, the Sefira of Malchus, its place in the body is in fact in the mouth. As we learned in the Tikkuni Zohar, Mama Pasach Eliyahu, that we've mentioned before, Eliyahu talks about, Elijah the prophet talks about the different sefirot and how they're connected and represented by organs of the body. For instance, Chesed and Gevurah being the right and left arms, and the torso being Tiferet, Netzach and Hod being the thighs and so on, and then he talks about Malchus as being the mouth. So it is in the mouth that these 22 letters are going to be carved. Chakukah is bekoil, they're carved in the voice. What does it mean? Pirish, this is note number 31. Koidem ledibur shubitu hakavona bemilim habois mehamoyach, before one speaks the words, which really, words are an extension of the kavana, the intent that a person has in mind. When we speak words, we're actually speaking our mind. But before those words come to the fore, yesh kvais amtsis harotzen hiskashav zekoil, there is already, we already present the desire to communicate just with a sub-vocalization, which it isn't comprised of words. Nevertheless, it does communicate the fact that we want to connect with somebody. So if before I speak to somebody I say, he knows I want to talk to him. So that's the bechina of koil. And that desire to communicate will also manifest itself in the letters. Note number 32. Chatzu voice, we talked about hewing and the difference between carving and hewing. And we said that hewing refers to siddik, the removal of hasuras choymer and the taking away of the whatever it is that I want to make space, lahashir reikunas, to create an emptiness. Umashmoi poi, and here what it means to when we talk about hewing, siddik harochni, the removal of the spiritual to make place for something physical or something mundane. So they are, the letters are chatzuvos beruach. In other words, we don't simply breathe in and out. Speech is actually interferes with breathing in and out. And our breathing becomes a part of our speaking, and the pitch at which we breathe in and out becomes, is taken over by that part of us which is speaking. Note number 33, the achatzuva is beruach, hewn into the breath. Ruach, and the breath is the merkova lerotzen iskasha. That's the vessel or the medium that carries the desire to connect. Kavua is prepared. So these 22 letters are carved in the voice and hewn in the breath and fixed in the mouth. Pirish. Hakavona shebemilim, the meaning of the words, because words, if words don't have meaning, then they're not what we're talking about, right? So like if a person is speaking in tongues, so to speak, right? A person is speaking in tongues, it even has like a Greek name, Eulalia or something. Right? Is it speaking? Hakavona shebemilim, the kavana, the intent that is in the words, hitoch dibuamim, that's the inside of the words. So if I say that words have an outside and an inside, yes, they have a sound, but they also have a meaning that is being conveyed by that sound. So it's possible to have the sound without meaning, but it's impossible to have the meaning without meaning. The meaning is the intent that I had in my mind when I was projecting those words. So then those words are merkava, they are the medium, the vessel that is going to carry my intent. So as you and I, as we prepare ourselves to speak, what does it mean? What is it that we're preparing? It means that we are assembling our thoughts and we're going to project those thoughts, and those thoughts are going to be carried in these sounds that we make that we call words. So those sounds and words which are in the mouth and they are manufactured in the mouth, they are the vehicle to carry these thoughts that we are assembling. And so the words become the vehicle to carry not just our thoughts, but then our thoughts also express our emotions, for example, the story of our life. in five places. Note number 35. Pirush Chumash Yesh Chumash Chumash Etzvoyos, as there are two sets of five toes and five fingers, Hubinem Ois Bris, and between them the covenant. Bechinas Ois Hei, Shenutosif Leil Avram Avinu, when Avram circumcised himself, he was given the letter He to add to his name, for it became, went from being Abram to become Abraham. Kama Shibirashnu Le'al, as we explained above in the first chapter in the 12th Mishnah. Kama Ikein, similarly, Yesh Bein Chomesh Chomesh Etzboi Sayadayim, between the two sets of five fingers of the hand, there is also Oisbris, there is also the sign of a covenant. V'chomesh Mekoimis V'peh, in the five places in the mouth. V'hinei, Hevel Apeh, the breath, Shehi Soid Ois Hei, which we said represents the letter, the fifth letter, the letter Hei, Hi Hanefesh V'Horuach V'Han Neshoma L'Chol Achof Beis Oisis. The letter Hei, the breath, that is the soul, the spirit, the life of the 22 letters. V'zeh Pirush Ma'amar Pasach Elyoh, and this explains that passage in Elijah's speech where he said, Malchus, the Sephira of Malchut, Peh is the mouth, Torah Shebaal Peh Korinole, we call it the oral Torah, the Torah of the mastery of the mouth. What does it mean? Shelifi Pshuto Yavale Lemeima, if you look at the way he was enumerating the different limbs of the body and how they represent the Sephirot, he was working his way downwards. The Chesed and Gevurah were the two arms. Tiferet was the torso, the heart. And then Netzach and Hoid are the two thighs. And Yesod is the penis or the genitals, right? Then Malchut, then, should be the crown. Should be the crown of the Bris Milah, of the circumcision. Instead, Eliyahu jumps and he says, and Malchut is the mouth. So it should have said Malchus is the Atorah Mezgalah V'Priya Sa'ara. That's the crown that becomes revealed with the circumcision B'Kiyum Mitzvos Milah. So why does he say that it's Malchus is the mouth? El Shebo L'Rama is also Zu. He's coming to hint to us this mystery. Zulu Mazu. That they are opposites and parallels. Lo Yizu Afzu Ketoni. That, yes, we mean both. We know that there is a crown in the circumcision, and also there is a crown in the mouth. And just as a person has to sanctify himself when it comes to the way he is a sexual person or she's a sexual person, and this is Ois Bris Kodesh, the sign of the Holy Covenant. So a person has to sanctify himself in the five places in the mouth. That's a person needs to be first the master of his own mouth. In order to guard it and sanctify it. And that's the meaning of Elijah the prophet who says, Malchus is the mouth, Torah Shebaal Peh, the Torah of one who is master of the mouth. And it corresponds to the sanctity that's demanded of a person in the flesh. So, the five places in the mouth, this is note 36, the throat, the palate, the tongue, the teeth, and the lips. And you can see how it develops from the inside outwards. And the deepest place that the words, the letters come out of is the throat. And it's from the throat that the Shekhinah speaks, from that deepest part of us. And it's in the throat that the letter He appears. And the letter He refers to the Shekhinah and Malchus. Let's move straight on to Mishnah 4. Mishnah 4. Esrim v'shtayim oisiyus yisod. 22 foundation letters, kavuos begalgal, fixed in the wheel, bereish lamed aleph she'orim, in 231 gates. Choyze galgal ponim v'ochoy. The galgal, the wheel, turns front and back. Simen l'dova, an indicator that this is so, Ein betoivel lemala mi oinek, there is nothing in good that is higher than pleasure. Ve'ein b'ro'o lemata min nega, and there is nothing in evil that is lower than the plague. Psicha lemishne dalet. Let's have a look at the preface. Achrei bi'uroi soid ois hei. After explaining the letter hei, shehi adruach mechai ois aleph, that the letter hei is the soul that gives life to the aleph, besoid chamisha moitzis peh, in those five phonetic families. Bol ahaz bi'eich kol ois yis. So now it comes to teach us how all the letters together, k'mo sha'orim, are like gates. Ashadakom shifa asurotz naposhet, that it is through those 231 gates that the simple desire flows. Da, you should know. It is written, ki loy machshavoisai machshavoiseichem, because my thoughts, says God, are not your thoughts. V'loy da'acheichem drochoi, and your ways are not my ways. V'isa b'zohar kodeshim, we learn in the Zohar, machshavoisai ksiv, it doesn't say my thoughts in the plural, it says machshavtai, my thoughts. Chose b'loy vov, without a vov. V'dorish lei machshavtai l'shen yochid, and the Zohar learns from here that God's thoughts are really just one thought. Ukamat, the truth is that EF shelabos v'dam lahasik ini machshav achas boydedu lagam. It's impossible for a human being to really grasp the meaning of the idea of a single thought. Ki teva moyach ha'odam, because the nature of a human mind, she'ena shoket ve'ena nach afreg, it doesn't, it's not quiet, doesn't rest even a split second. It's impossible that the human mind shouldn't be thinking something, or many things. A person himself cannot really know how many thoughts are going on in his own mind at one time. So, we need to get away from projecting our idea of what a thought is onto God. God has one thought. And there's not much more that we're allowed to reflect on that idea beyond that. And if Isaiah the prophet hadn't actually laid it out there for us as a comparison, that God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, your ways are not my ways, we would not have compared them one to the other. Right? Just as I don't compare myself to God in other ways, I wouldn't dare compare my thinking to God's thinking. But the prophet Isaiah did it, and so we think about it for a moment. And the same really applies to the divine will. Ritzoina yizbaracho echad vashposhet, God's single and simple desire. Lumas ritzoina seino, when we compare it, or by comparison to our multifarious ribu rivavon zech leofa, we have thoughts like that start creeping, crawling on the ground up as far as these magnificent high and sacred thoughts. When we try to compare it to the one thought. Al kein, therefore, bo'u hasha'orim benuim me'avonim. So these gates through which this desire, this thought flows, are made of stones. Ki ho'os nikra evan, because in the Sefer Yetzirah, a letter is called a stone, like a building block. Shebehem boinim milim, because with these stones we build words. V'chein ksiv, and so it is written in the blessing that Jacob gives to his children. He talks misham roya evan Yisrael, and from there, the shepherd, the stone of Israel. So Rashi explains stone there in the verse in Genesis as an expression of malchut, sovereignty. And we can understand that in the context, since the letters and the words are going to be happening in the mouth, and the mouth represents the sefirah of malchut, therefore the stones of which everything is built represent Malchut. Shakurish Bohut Sofan Elohim, Elo God combined them one with another. Kyois Levada Eneno El Loiteve Vele Dibur, because one letter on its own isn't a word. It's not, you can't speak, it has no meaning. Avo Mishtei Oisis Nasa Dibur, but from two letters there already we can make a word. Behind in the Shabbos, and that's how the halacha is paskened for Shabbos. Akoisaveina Chayavat Shiyichtiv Shtei Oisis, somebody who writes is not. Has not transgressed Shabbos, hasn't broken Shabbos till they write two letters. These two letters that make this word, v'chol teva misapeches likri yoshevavich. Each word can be read forwards and backwards. La'asish shtei tevis kigon. You have a word made out of two letters, aleph base. You can read it backwards, base aleph. Aleph base means father, base aleph means come. Base gimel, gimel base, and so on. V'hasha'orim hamedubrorim kam b'mishnaseinu. And these gates that we talk about here in our Mishnah, b'nui mishnei avonim, they're all built of two letters. Of course, you could build a word of many letters, right? V'derech kol sha'an noivas hashpo k'moy naham im mekor ha'shefa rotzen ha'poshet. And through these gateways made of pairs of letters flows this simple desire. Ubemeshach shefi also in noizeles rotzen melubish milim betevis advarim. And as the desire flows into the world through the letters, it becomes clothed in these letters and becomes words and phrases and sentences. Ki gedisha rotzen apushet tefir ben avshenu, for in order that God's simple desire manifests itself in us, hutzrich lislabash b'seshezuras milim diburim u'mishpotim, the simple desire had to clothe itself and it had to be spun and woven into this fabric, this matrix of speech that we are familiar with. Ki kein teva nefesh ha'odem, because that's how we human beings are built. Amar she'ein lo milim ein yochel lachshev, if we don't have words for something, we can't think about it. Begam el hergoshev, and even our emotions, ein ha'oimed, we can't really get to understand our emotions. Im ein lo b'mal l'terem, if we don't have the words with which to describe them. And so, God's desire for us flows into the world through these gates made up of the letters, and in doing so become clothed in the words and sentences that these letters combined make up. So let's have a look at the Mishnah again. Mishnah Dalet. Esrim Mishtaim Oisius Yisod. 22 foundation letters. Kvu Ois Begalgal. Fixed in the wheel. Beresh Lamed Alef Shorim. In 231 gates. Choyze Galgal Ponim V'ocha. The wheel turns back and front. Similar dover, an indicator of this is Ein B'toyve L'malo Me'oineg. There is no good higher than pleasure. Ve'ein B'ro L'mato Minega, and no evil lower than the plague. Note number 40. Chof Beis Oisius Yisod, these 22 letters, fundamental letters, meaning Oisin Shemanu B'Mishnah Kodim, those that we talked about in the previous Mishnah, Shein Kvus B'Per B'Chomish Mekoimis, which are fixed in the mouth in five places. Kvus B'Galgal, these 22 letters are fixed in a wheel. V'zeh Soida Galgal. Why was the metaphor of wheel chosen? Because this is the secret of a wheel. Ein lo tenua rak al yedei kfir. It doesn't move unless it is moved. There has to be some motor providing the power to move the wheel. And so words do not have meaning. They don't convey meaning unless there is intent in the words. Because the intention that we have, the kavana, that is the motor, the engine, powering those words. Because without the kavana inside it, it's just a sound and a breath that comes out of a mouth. And that's why kesa malchus ubitzuras galgal. Why is a crown in the shape of a wheel. Vegam Penikras Malchus, and also the mouth is called Malchus. As we said, Per Malchus Torish Baal Peh Krinale, we had the quote from Elijah's speech. Why? Ki Malchus Misgalgelus, because the sovereignty, it rolls. Veinun Efsekus B'misas HaMelech Hoya Malka. The crown, the kingdom, the sovereignty doesn't stop if the king or queen dies. You know, the king is dead, we say, long live the king. Because it's an intellectual concept that continues to exist even after the physical monarch has died. It doesn't stop just because the monarch stopped living. Ki Amalchus Atzma V'Hakeser, because sovereignty and the crown, Musogim Imamoshimim, they're intangible concepts. Kein ho oisyos, and so it is with the letters. Afapi shiesh len havai atzmi, even though they have some sort of theoretical existence, right? Avul diburim imilim ein lehem havai batzim. Words don't even have a theoretical existence. There is no such thing as my words if I don't speak. You can say to yourself, this is what Heshi would say. It's a pretty far-fetched assumption, you know, that I have words, right? You don't know. It's only because you've heard me in the past speaking. But really, a person does not have words until that person speaks them. Words are not theoretical. Aval diburim emilim ein lehem havai ba'atzman v'rak b'kavono toich peh amadaba shum enoyam yesh lehem havai. It's only with the intent, it's only when I speak my mind that my words take on a reality. V'hapeh hu ha'galgal. So then, my mouth then is the wheel. V'hamilim v'hadiburim shebetoicho ein lehem tenua b'li kavono shuhi ha'rotzen. And the, what is inside my mouth, which is the wheel, there are the components of the wheel, the spoke, the rim, the this and that, but it doesn't move until my mind projects its kavana into them, like the power, like the engine. And then, Rutzalim Pehu Gamke Musak Imam Moshi, the idea of the mouth is also an intangible. Kmoya Malcha Shein Nefsekes Klal, because if I have uttered speech, if I have spoken letters, if I have said things with kavana and intent, then my words have a reality. Then they take on a reality even if I go away. Even after I'm gone, my words will still continue because they are like that galgal of Malchut, the sovereignty and the crown of the king, which will continue to be even after the king is gone. You know, in one of the things that the founding fathers wanted to really abolish and get away from was this idea of the crown and sovereignty. And so, you know, in a court case, it's the people versus such and such a person. In England, if you go there, it's the crown. The crown versus such and such. A law has been broken, so the crown demands justice, and the judge and so on are working for the crown. And the tax collector is also working for the crown, because if the queen were to die tomorrow, then those taxes would still be due because they're to be paid to the crown. And laws that are broken are prosecuted by the crown for the same reason. And this is the connection between crown, which is the sefira of Malchut, and peh, the mouth, which represents the chariot, the merkava, the vehicle of speech. Kmudatom, as we say in Yeshaya, V'ro'u kol bosa yachtov, and all flesh will see together, ki pi Hashem diber, that the mouth of God has spoken. Bo'yedai lo'yme would have been enough to say, V'ro'u kol bosa yachtov ki Hashem diber, and everybody together will see that God spoke. My mashma pi Hashem diber, why does it have to say that the mouth of God has spoken? El Rem is Ba'amri Pi Hashem, but the hint that is being given when it says the mouth of God is ki afapi shedivrei anaviim vaftechosam atikim, even though the words of the prophets are old and the prophets have been dead for 3,000 years, pi Hashem diber, it's the mouth of God which has spoken. Upi Hashem k'may malchus v'hakeses she'en nefsekes, and then we come back to this idea of malchus in the mouth, which never ends. Afilu b'misas hanavi, even with the death of the prophet. Hayotzelon mizeh, so what we get from all this, she'ho'oisyois kayomois, that the letters continue to exist, v'hagalgal kayom, and the wheel exists, b'li tenua, without movement, v'ha'oisyos kvuos begalgal, and these letters, the 22 letters, are fixed in the wheel, which is the mouth, and then with this motion, this power of movement that comes from the breath, the spirit that passes through the mouth, the letters are joined with one another to become milim, to become words, and then they convey the desire in them. So we have in our mouth these 22 imaginary letters which have no motion until we breathe motion into them with two things, with the breath that flows out through from our heart, from our inside, and also with the mind that projects its desire to communicate into those letters. Bereish Lamed Aleph Shaorim, in the 231 gates. So if you have a look, if you leaf down all the way to the end, that would be page 25 and 26. Do you have those? You have them. So in the first I have a simple, these are 231 combinations of just single letters, like Aleph and Yud, Beis and Yud, Gimel and Yud, and so on. And they are followed down all the way to the center. And on the next page, we have them forwards and backwards. So in a sense, there are 462 gates here. But as you'll see, that it forms a spiral. I don't know if you've ever seen a solenoid switch, but that's kind of the idea that comes to me. Traditionally, in Sefer Yetzirah, when people provide scales of the letters, they come in blocks. But I feel that it's more appropriate to turn them into a wheel and show them as a galgal. And now we come to a very interesting ha'ora, a very interesting note. So the Mishnah says, Choyze galgal ponim v'ocha. We're now on note 43. It doesn't say to and fro. It doesn't say that the wheel turns, goes to and fro. But rather it says ponim v'ochar. Ponim means face and ochar means back. So what it is telling us is two things. It's a wheel. A wheel turns like a wheel, right? So here in the line I've put like base aleph, base aleph, base aleph, right? So the wheel is revolving. Okay? So then if you have a base aleph, base aleph, base aleph, making a circle, they're chasing each other around in a circle, then darkon, you have the next letter, the zayin, passing through forwards, passing through backwards, zayin, zayin, kes, kes, tes, tes, and so on. Ponim v'ocher. Pirish, you have to understand it's like this. Loi kemoi machat she'toifrim bo yesakafter. It's not, you have to lose the image of like a button. Imagine a button revolving like a wheel, right? And then you have a needle passing to and fro. That is how I would normally understand the letters passing through these gates. But the Mishnah doesn't say that they're passing to and fro. It says that they're passing front and back. It does not mean that it's like a needle pulling a thread through backwards and forwards through a kafta, through a button. Elokim Mefurish B'Mishnah Seinu Shehagalgal Choizim Ponim V'Ocher, that the wheel itself is turning as well as revolving. Ki'ilu Hakafta Mishapach Ponim V'Ocher, as though you are looking now at the front of the button, now at the back of the button. At the same time, it is revolving like a wheel, or spinning like a wheel. So there's, in fact, two sets of motions going on in these letters. And in the picture here, I've tried to show how it's working. You have the wheel that is revolving anti-clockwise, right? The picture on the left, right? And then you have at the top, say, a nun, at the bottom, a gimel. And there is like a line of energy that flows down from the nun to the gimel, and backwards from the gimel to the nun. As this, now this wheel, this disc, besides spinning one way, it now starts to revolve on its axis. And the line that was formed between the nun and the gimel is thrown open by centrifugal force, right? The thing is that as this disc spins, you get a white opening on one side, but then it turns its back to you get a black opening. And then as it spins faster and faster, the opening broadens out until you have what looks like a black disc on one side and a white disc on the other side, right? So while it's spinning, it's also revolving. Now, the nun and the gimel, you take the letter ayin and you pass it through, and it will read oneg one way and nega the other way. And this is what the Mishnah is telling us. Shloisha, this is now in note 44. Simon Ladova. There are three simonim in Sefer Yetzirah. This one, and in Mishnah 6, in this, when it talks about 22 desires and one body, and then in the final Mishnah, and the final chapter, where in fact all the simonim seem to come together, where it talks about fire carrying the water. Hopefully we'll explain each one in its place. Here, what does it mean? She'im tikshelach eich efshesh shechoyzeh gal v'gal ponim v'ocheh. If you ask, how is it possible for this, how is it possible for things to pass through the gate, if it is not only spinning but also revolving at the same time? So let this be the indicator that it is so. And the Teva Simon, the word Simon comes from when it talks on day 4, it says God makes the sun and the moon and the stars, and it says, and God made them as signs. So the Targum translate the words signs as Simanim. So, let's have a look at the letter Aleph. And here, we need to make like a little skip. We need to get a lot of information all at once. The letter Aleph is the river that flows out of Aden, as we're going to be explaining in the next few notes. There is, in nature, in the world, in God, so to speak, there is the Bechina of Ponim, there is the Bechina of Ocher. There's the face, and there's the back. And we're going to be explaining at the end of Sefer Yetzirah how important this concept is, that there, everywhere in nature, nature is not two-dimensional, but nature is three-dimensional. And so God isn't two-dimensional, but God is three-dimensional also. And so if God has a front, God has a back. And later in Sefer Yetzirah, we're going to be talking about this really radical concept that God's back can only be seen if you turn your back on God. So this idea that everything in nature has a front and a back is introduced right here in this Mishnah. That when you spin reality, and you move through it one way, then it reads the words oneg, ayin, nun, gimel. When you turn your back, so to speak, on it and move through it the other way, then it reads Nun, Gimel, Ein. It's the same letters, except in a slightly different order. And whereas one is the highest, it means pleasure, the other is the lowest, and it means pain. And the Mishnah says, an indicator of this, Ein betoiv lemala me'oinik. So, let's have a look at what this means. What is the mystery that is being taught here? It's written in Genesis 2:10, V'nahar yoytze me'eden lahashkoises agan, there's a river flowing out of the Eden to irrigate the garden. So, the Zohar talks about, there are three concepts here, right? There's a river flowing out of Eden to irrigate the garden. So that must mean that Eden and the garden are not necessarily the same thing. So Zohar Kodesh talks about Gan Eden Elyon, Gan Eden Tachton, that there is a supernal garden of Eden called Eden, and there's an earthly garden of Eden called the garden. And between them there flows a river, Nahar Yotze Me'eden, a river flows out of Eden, Lahashkoises Agan, to irrigate the garden. If you put these three words together, Eden begins with an Ein, Nahar begins, the river begins with a Nun, and the garden begins with a Gimel. Eden Nahar Gan reads Oneg, pleasure. Possessed Gimel Suda Shabbos, and this is the secret of the three meals that we eat on Shabbos. As we read in Yeshaya, V'karosu l'Shabbos oinek, and if you call Shabbos a pleasure, and you refrain from it, from doing your work, and so on, V'achalticho nachlas yarech yivavicho, and then I will, God says, I promise, I will feed you the inheritance of your father Jacob. And the Gemara says that Amar Rebshim Bapazi, Amar Rebshu ben Levi, Rebshu ben Levi, Mishum Bakapora, Kol Hamakayim Shlosh Sudos B'Shabbos, whoever eats or whoever fulfills the three meals of Shabbos is given this Nachla B'Li Mitzorim. He's promised the inheritance without boundaries that comes in the promise of this Pasuk. And what does it mean to celebrate the three meals of Shabbos? It means to make Shabbos into a pleasure. Korosu L'Shabbos Oinek. So, again, Eden Nahagan is a three-stage thing. There's the Eden, there's the river, and then there's the garden. And together, this flow and these two places, they comprise this place called Oineg, which is pleasure. And the Zohar says, Umisham Yiporet, the Torah tells us that this river then splits into four and becomes four rivers. Ilan Inan Albert Zenechnesu Leparadis. The Zohar says that this is a hint to the four who entered paradise. Chad Ol B'Pishan, each of these four went in taking one of these different rivers. And one went to the Pishon, one went to Chidekel, and finally one went through the river Euphrates. And the fourth one, the Zohar Kodesh says, went up through the river Euphrates, which in Hebrew is called Pras, Prat. And that's, Prat refers, the Moicha, the Be'piri V'Ribba, refers to the mind in which there is Piri V'Ribba, which we said is the mitzvah of to be fruitful and multiply. It's called Piri V'Ribba. Ben Zoyme Ben Azai, they took the wrong river. Dolim beklipin deraisa, they went up the wrong river and so they were damaged and they died. Rabbi Akiva dol b'moichah, but Rabbi Akiva goes up in the river that flows in through the mind, specifically through the river that flows through the sexual mind. And Etma Bey, and we learn about him, dol b'sholim v'nofik b'sholim, that he went in peace and he came out in peace. And this is the connection in there is nothing in good that is higher than pleasure. And Rabbi Akiva is the one who manages to enter paradise through pleasure, through the moichin de piri v'ribya, through the mind that is associated with being fruitful and multiplying. And he's the one who comes out in peace, because the river that flows from the lower Eden to the upper Eden, and from the upper Eden to the lower, is the river of Oinek. And finally, Ve'ein b'ro lamata min nega, and there is nothing in evil lower than, note 46, because there's a question. If we're talking about greatness, it should have said, just as there is no great in good, there is nothing greater than pleasure. It should have said, and in bad, there's nothing greater than nega, right? Why does it say lower than? If he's trying to tell us nothing more than, then he should have used the same language, and there's nothing more than, nothing more worse than nega. But it doesn't. It says, and there's nothing lower than. Because he's trying to tell us that they are kind of like mirror images. That evil isn't just parallel to good, but it is the opposite. It's the reverse. And therefore, if this is the highest, this is going to have to be the lowest. And at the end of the book, we're going to be discussing why this necessarily has to be so. And finally, note number 47, the inyan of nega. Where does the word first appear? It says, Vayinaga Hashem es pari negoim gedolim. God, when Pharaoh took Sarah because he thought she was very beautiful, and Avraham and Sarah had fled to Egypt to protect themselves from the famine that was in the land, and it says God smote a Pharaoh and his household with a nega. V'isa, we learn, Rish Lakish says in the name of Bakapura, Paroi Baratan Loka. Paroi had a very painful form of boils that he was smitten with. It wasn't just he felt bad or giddy or nauseous. He was smitten with a very particular nega. Shimi Gamliel says, Mitzoni Zokin Echad Mukishchin, I was once talking to this poor man, an elderly man who was stricken with boils. Bitsipurin, in the town of Tzipurin. Omali, he told me, he said, Reb Shimon, he said, Chof Dalad Min Eshchin Emi, I want you to know that there are 24 kinds of boils. Ve'en lecha kosher mikulam, and there is no form of boil that is worse, shehoish ro'a lo, that even prevents a man from having sex with a woman, elo ra'atan bilvad. These are boils that affect the genitals. Uboilo kaparai, and so this man was telling him, and you want to know what it was that God smote Pharaoh with that night, that was these boils. So, nega, now we can see why nega is the direct opposite of oneg. It stands to reason, because oneg is the highest pleasure, then this is the negation of that highest pleasure. V'chein isa b'uz Zohar Kodesh, and so we learn in the Zohar, ki gavna de pari mitzroya de purach bohin shechina v'abois, just like Pharaoh and the Egyptians, all of a sudden they blossomed all over the body these boils, aval Yisrael, but for Yisrael yehei oneg. So he had nega, he had oinek. And so this is what the play on words that the Sefer Yetzirah is telling us, that the nun and the gimel don't really move, but the ayin moves from the front to the back. And that's the meaning of the illustration that they put, that you have nun and gimel which are flowing around and twisting and spinning, and the ayin is trying to move through, and it makes on the one side oneg and the other side nega. And finally, this is something again we'll be talking about later. The word nega, just as the word oneg is a notarikon comprised of the three words eden nahagam, the word nega is also comprised of three words, and that is nachash, gava, and amalek. The serpent, pride, and amalek, as we are going to be learning, emetz Hashem, in the sixth chapter in the fifth Mishnah.